Hello and welcome to the X-Files podcast. This is a weekly podcast in which we journey through the X-Files TV series, which originally aired in 1993. It spanned 9 seasons, 202 episodes, 2 movies, a spin-off series, and a reboot series coming out in 2016. This podcast will feature spoilers because we will be breaking down the episode pretty much from front to end. We encourage you guys to follow along with us so that you avoid those spoilers. And I am JP, one of your hosts, hailing out of Southwest Pennsylvania. And joining me tonight, as always, your friend and mine, Mr. Kyle Thomas, podcasting out of South Carolina.
What is up, everyone? We're back for another episode of the X-Files. I hope you guys are enjoying following along, and I hope you guys are having fun with this. I know that there's a lot of people, from what I've seen, I've been seeing actually some comments here recently.
I know, I got so excited. I was like, oh shit, people are actually listening.
Yeah, I saw one comment on the group page where somebody put underneath that, they're enjoying the podcast. I know that somebody that started listening to the podcast is on like season 4 now, I'm glad you guys are at least following along. Even if you don't follow along, hopefully you will with us. At least maybe this will help you guys get into the X-Files, since it's such an iconic show and a show that I really, really enjoyed growing up. So we're on episode 5 today, which is, like I said last week, it seems like it's kind of crazy because, I mean, this is the 5th episode we're doing, and we're doing these in order. So we're already 5 episodes into the first season. So.
Yeah, we're trucking along, man. I think it's great. I'm having fun with it. It's a freaking blast. I'm glad we came up with this idea. I think that as we move forward, it'll only get more fun. And these are actually honestly pretty easy to record too. We do them Monday night, and they fly by. It's not like a hassle. Sometimes when I do my other projects, it's just a hassle to watch the movies. Sometimes we watch multiple movies. One time we watched 9 Children of the Corn movies in a week. So, I mean, this is just easy. It's a 40-minute episode. I'll either watch it at work or Sunday night or anywhere, really. It's so easy to watch a 40-minute episode.
Yeah,
and that's
it. I was going to say, what's funny is you said you guys did the 9 Children of the Corn movies. I was on that episode. That was the first podcast I ever did ever. And, of course, I'm on a podcast where we have to watch 9 fucking movies, and they're like not a great franchise, to be honest with you, of 9 movies. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, yeah, dude, I want to be on this episode. And then I start watching the movies, because I've only seen like maybe 1 or 2 of the Children of the Corn movies. I start watching all the other ones, I'm like, what the fuck did I get myself into with
yeah,
this?
Yeah, he's like, what the hell did I sign up for? This was the most dumbest thing I've ever done. And then in the episode, it was like a 5-hour podcast.
Dude, it was like 5.5 hours. And I remember it was literally 2 or 3 in the morning. And I was like, we were like on Children of the Corn Genesis, which is like the last Children of the Corn movie. And I literally wanted to kill myself. I was like, I don't even remember. I didn't even write notes. And I don't remember what this movie was about. And I don't care because I want to go to sleep. Like, it was that fucking bad. But I mean, it was fun. It was fun hanging out with everybody and talking about them. That was the first podcast I had ever done. So like these like episode podcasts are like rolling by, and they're actually really, really quite simple, like you said. So it's really, really cool to go into. And I'm actually, JP says on most episodes, I'm actually a huge fan of the X-Files. I've seen all these episodes. I've actually watched this series probably 3 or 4 times in my lifetime. I've seen the movies. I've seen the X-Files Fight the Future movie at least 20 fucking times. I've seen that movie so many times. And I actually still own that movie on VHS, which is pretty funny. It's just a really fun series to get into. With the X-Files, there is a small linear storyline to it. There's an underlying storyline, and then each episode has its own kind of unique style to it. So it's a pretty cool format to get into. But
yeah, for sure. And also, you did mention that you are like the big fan, and we haven't mentioned that in a few episodes. Kyle's the big fan, and I'm kind of the novice to the X-Files. So that's kind of the dynamic we have here, where you have somebody who has really grew up with the series and knows a lot about it, and then me, who's just kind of journeying through for the first time. And I think that's a great idea. But you also mentioned podcasts, and now you're kind of like a getting to veteran status. I mean, we've been talking about even starting other podcasts, which we'll talk more about in the future. But for the people who want to hear more podcasts, including this one, you can head on over to horrorphilia.com. We are a proud member over there. Our podcast gets posted weekly, as well as on Kyle's channel, which is The Horror File on YouTube, and mine, which is Double Shot J on YouTube, as well as our 22 Shots of Modes and Horror website. Also, guys, please subscribe to us on iTunes if you're an iTunes listener, And if you really want to be generous, rate us and leave a review. I mean, those things help so much in that iTunes feed, the marketplace, or the iTunes store. That's pretty much how all podcasts really get noticed on iTunes, is from the ratings and reviews. So if anybody wants to do that, we'd greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, even negative feedback, in my opinion, would be like positive feedback for us, because, you know, we're kind of doing this, and this is like the first, I mean, like I said, this is my first podcast, like as far as like my own podcast. So, I mean, I want to hear what you guys like either like or dislike about it. I don't care if it's, you know, negative or positive. Just whatever you guys think, just let us know. We're looking to improve and do, you know, new things. So
yeah, I respond very well to criticism. I do not get offended at all, and I will take in everything that people consider, and unless you're just being a douchebag, which then I'll just brush it off.
we got certain trolls out there, and I've actually we were talking about trolls not too long ago on our YouTube channels. There are trolls out there, but I mean, as long as it's not trolling and it's criticism, you know, me and JP both take, you know, good criticism. So yeah, let us know what you guys think. Like you said, we both posted on our channel. He is Double Shot J. I'm the Horrorphile. Like you said, you can do a quick YouTube search, find our channels. If you're not subscribed to them, definitely subscribe. JP does a lot of reviews and stuff. Reviews and shelf by shelf videos and all kinds of stuff on his page.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, speaking of that, you did mention trolls and shelf by shelf videos. So I got a comment today that said, "Stick all your gay horror movies up your ass, dumbass. You know nothing about film." So
yeah. Was that Matt Eddie Saban Ryder? That
no, it was some guy named Donald Smith, who I looked at his page and he reviews stuff like Jumanji and a bunch of other mainstream films. So he's a real hater, and his videos aren't good. So I told him that. I was like, "Your videos aren't even good, so you should be hating when you need work."
I would love to see a review of Jumanji and just fucking laugh the whole time. Like, why are you fucking reviewing this fucking movie? Jesus.
So, Kyle, what's going on this week? You got anything new coming up or anything?
So this week, no, I don't really got anything coming up. I've actually kind of been a little slack on my YouTube channel, actually, for, you know, just that aspect of what I'm doing. I've been posting the X-Files podcast every week. I was doing my Disturbing Movies review. I haven't uploaded one of those in about 2 or 3 weeks now. I've had a lot going on with, you know, Thanksgiving, and then Christmas is coming up. It hasn't been a lot of time to do a lot of reviews and stuff, but I am going to get back on that. You know, I am taking a little vacation this week as well. So hopefully I'll get a little bit of time to, you know, be able to do some of that and, you know, have a little fun. What do you got going on your side, JP?
Right now I have a couple of MMA prediction videos, or kind of preview videos, that are going to come up this week. There's a huge week in MMA. So if anybody's interested in that stuff, that'll be on my channel, as well as I am currently, we just wrapped and posted today, so probably about 4 days ago by the time you guys listen to this, the 65th episode of the 22 Shots of Moods and Horror, where we covered Bound of Vengeance, which surprisingly we were actually very split on that film, so that's a good conversation. We also covered a lot of other 2015 films in that podcast, so I'd recommend checking that out. And then what we have next is next week there will be episode 66, which will be the killer insect film called Stung.
Sweet. Yeah, I'm actually really curious to check out the Bound of Vengeance podcast. I have seen that movie, but I have not listened to it just yet. I know you posted it today. Mm-hmm. And I've watched it, and you know, I was kind of split myself on the movie. I don't want to say anything about it to spoil anything, but I am interested to see what you guys think about it. I know that a lot of you guys have different opinions on those kind of films, which is, in my opinion, obviously a revenge film. So yeah, I'll have to check that out, and hope you guys check it out as well. Can't believe you guys are already up to episode 65. That's freaking crazy, dude.
I know it is. It really is.
That is insane. And those episodes are like 2-3 hours long, so it's like
they're
crazy,
like 3-4 hours long.
That's awesome, man. But yeah, man, so we don't waste any more time. We'll go ahead and start talking about the episode. We are up to episode 5. This is season 1, episode 5. Called the Jersey Devil, which actually I'm pretty sure the Jersey Devil is actually an actual folktale in real life, but we are at episode 5, which originally aired on October the 8th of 1993. Remember, guys, we're back in the early 90s, which JP was probably not even born yet.
I was born. I was 2.
You were two. Wow. How old was I? I was 19. I was 6 years old. So, pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. I was probably sporting a Home Alone, fucking Home Alone Talk Boy and a Sony Walkman. So, but anyway, this episode was directed by Joe, and I'm probably gonna butcher this last name, Napolitano. Joe Napolitano sounds Italian or something.
Not bad.
But, and it's written by Chris Carter, which, as you guys know from previous episodes, if you've listened, Chris Carter is the creator of The X-Files. He wrote a lot of the episodes in the first few seasons, but he was the one that created the entire show.
Yeah, and so, the director, he did a few things, but not really anything of note. He did a lot of television, just tons of television, with honestly a lot of shows where he did like one episode, and I don't really... He only did two episodes of The X-Files and not really anything that I'm too familiar with. I mean, the biggest thing he did was Quantum Leap, where he did like 12 episodes.
I think that with these directors, and I've said this before, I think that these like early TV shows are like make or break for the director kind of deal. Like if they... You know, they do it to kind of test themselves out, see if they're going to want to be a director, and it's either they want to be it or they're not good at it, or it's kind of like with the lower budget movies kind of deal with like certain directors are kind of just throw certain franchises at them and they're like, oh, well, let's see how this guy does with this movie.
Yeah, and especially in the early late 80s, early 90s, TV was sort of like the doom ground. Like, you didn't want to get pigeonholed into TV. Now TV is hot stuff. Like, you want to be a TV filmmaker now because there's so much money involved in it. But back then it pretty much meant that your career wasn't going to do much. Of course there are exceptions, but you are right, for the most part sometimes it's a lot of first-time directors, or you know, people who just are directing TV a lot and they never really had their big break. But this episode in particular, Kyle, we mentioned this last episode, it did 10.4 million viewers, and which is a little bit of a pickup from the previous episode, was at 9.2. So we're back into the double digits here, which awesome. is pretty interesting. It also was the second episode in October. So yeah. Not bad, not bad.
Not bad. I think maybe the pickup maybe had something to do with the title. I don't really know. Like
probably
what they,
it probably like, did. The Jersey Devil is a like cryptozoology type of mythological creature around New Jersey. It's a legend, and I'm sure we'll talk more about that as we get into the episode.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure the episode really does kind of hint at a lot of things that the true legend actually has. So we'll kind of get into it. We'll talk about it a little bit. So with this episode, you know, as every episode, it kind of opens up with a kind of a cliffhanger. It starts out, and there's a car going to Atlantic City with a family in it. There is some kids in the back seat. There's a mother and father in the front seat. They're singing.
It's 1947, by the way.
1947. So we're long time ago, before the, you know, the actual episode, the events in the episode happen. They're singing, they're going down the road, they're singing Bingo, actually. You know, Bingo was his name-o.
B-I-N-G-O, B-I-N-G-O, yeah, and Bingo was his name-o. B-I-N-G-O, B-I-N-G-O.
No, kill me right now, kill me. And they're like singing it so proud. It's like, why are you this happy singing Bingo in the middle of the night driving like near the woods? So awkward. But pretty much as they're driving down the road, their car gets a flat tire, and the father, their kids actually are have fallen asleep in the back seat. The father gets out to change it, like any father probably should, and there's no one around. I mean, this is a like kind of like a back end road. It's right next to the woods. There's no one around. The mother's awake in the front seat, the dad gets out to replace the tire. All of a sudden, his flashlight rolls down into the woods. Of course, kind of like typical kind of deal. He has a flashlight out. He's looking around trying to replace his tire. Flashlight falls out of his hands, rolls down the woods. Father goes to retrieve it. And as he's retrieving it, you can hear in the background some heavy breathing. It sounds almost like a fat man looking into a Krispy Kreme donut. It's like just a heavy, really heavy breathing, almost like an animal.
Animalistic.
Yeah, animalistic. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the father kind of yells and gets dragged into the woods. You see his, like, it kind of pans out and shows, like, his legs being dragged off into the woods. The wife jumps out of the car, starts yelling, where are you at, as he's being dragged off. And then it kind of fast forwards a little bit to the police, and this is actually in the future. This isn't 1947 anymore. It actually fast forwards and shows the police with a bunch of dogs in the woods looking for him. Not for the guy not for the guy from 1947, but they're looking for somebody else. So they come across this body of it's not the father, it's another man.
You know what? That actually is to it's to show like similarity, right? It's to show that this has been happening a long time.
Yeah, it's actually the same woods as well that the original incident happened with the man. It's the same forest, basically. So it's like JB says, it's showing similarities to 1947. This incident happened, which we'll kind of talk about that incident in 1947 again, and then it fast forward and this happens again in present day. Police are looking, they find the body, and there was the man's legs actually eaten off. It doesn't show the man's leg eaten off, which I kind of wish it would have. I thought it would have been pretty. But the police looks down. He says his leg's been eaten off, then they kind of run over to this cave. One of the police officers sees somebody in a cave, and the police start shooting into the cave, saying that there was a person that ran into there that is as tall as a house. Stating this is a extremely tall person. This person ran into the cave, kind of indicating that person is probably the person that ate this person's leg off. And then at this point, as they're shooting into the cave, it plays the intro, the X-Files theme.
Yeah.
So kind of leaves you with that.
So far, I'm not getting burned out on, and I love it every time it pops up. So we'll see how long that lasts.
Exactly. Yeah. And honestly, the theme kind of gives you that eerie feeling because, you're left on a cliffhanger, a kind of creepy cliffhanger most episodes, and then the music comes on. And obviously, for the most part, most people think the music's kind of eerie and creepy, but, the intro plays, and then it shows, and this is kind of funny. I found this hilarious. It kind of pans out and shows Mulder checking out a porno magazine in his office. I don't know if you found it as funny as I did.
Yeah, I did, because it's totally out of characteristic of Mulder.
Not only that, it's like it leaves you on this kind of like creepy cliffhanger, and then it shows Mulder looking at a porno, and I'm like, what the fuck? And he's not just looking at the porno. He's actually reading. It's kind of like a Playboy. It seems like there's articles in this porn. He's reading it in his office, and he starts showing Scully a story about some alien abduction. He's like, hey, Scully, check out this woman that was abducted by aliens that was in this. It's kind of like one of those papers you would see where it says, like, Obama's an alien when you go to the grocery store or something. So Scully kind of looks at it, and she's like, whatever. And then she starts talking about the body that was found in Jersey. And actually, the guy got his arm and leg eaten off. I said leg earlier. It was his arm. His right arm and his right leg were eaten off. And Scully says it was a homeless man. So she starts telling Mulder about the story. And Mulder, you can tell, instantly starts kind of racing. His mind's racing. He's like, what could this be? So he runs over to his file cabinet, or aka the X-Files, which, yes, the X-Files is basically a file cabinet of unexplained events. That's all it really is when you are pretty much putting it into perspective. He walks over to the file cabinet, pulls out a file from 1947 about the Jersey Devil. So they already know about that. There's folklore Jersey Devil person that basically lives in the woods. It's basically a Neanderthal that lives in the woods and feeds off human flesh, and basically was raised by almost like animals, like just animal type people. So he pulls out the file, starts saying, "Is this a similar case to? This sounds like a similar case to the recent events that happened in New Jersey." Kind of going back to that first two parts of that first scene. It's kind of like a flashback to the original first part of the first scene in the beginning of the episode. Mulder states that the guy was dragged into the woods by his family, and limbs eaten off by the man beast. So basically, the man was dragged into the woods and he had his limbs basically eaten off by a family of beasts. And then Scully kind of just looks at him, and you know how she is with, kind of her eyes. She's like, that is complete and utter. In her face, you could tell her, she's like, that's bullshit. Like, there's no fucking way. And at this point, even in the fifth episode, this is kind of what I'm thinking, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, JP, or just correct me in general. I would think, like, after some of the stuff she's seen in the first four episodes, she would kind of be a little bit more lenient toward what Mulder's saying, because he's already proved her wrong pretty much four fucking times.
Yeah, so. And I think that is, like, one of the problems in a long-running series is that you want that character to stay the same and be the skeptic, but at a certain point, it's just kind of like, well, are we taking into consideration all the things that happened previously? Because you would pretty much have to be a complete retard not to notice, not to have somewhat of an open mind by now. But it's part of the world that the show exists in. It's done with all TV. All TV is kind of like that. So you have to kind of just accept it that, like, you almost have to take each episode kind of as its own thing and kind of separate it from past events. Especially this is one of the Monster of the Week episodes that's not a main story arc episode.
And another thing with Scully is her job is basically to debunk the X-Files, and she has to keep herself in that mindset because she can't fall into Mulder's mindset of, hey, all this stuff you're telling me is true. Even though she's seen things, she still has a job to do of trying to prove him wrong, basically. In the first, you know, you'll see this in the first few seasons. There's a lot of things that change in the later seasons, which everybody will see, but it doesn't continue as a pattern. So, So to kind of get back into it, Scully is kind of talking to him, saying that, you know, hey, this is a myth. The Jersey Devil doesn't exist. Why do you believe that? And then it kind of fast forwards to them going to Jersey, and they go to the morgue where the body is, where they actually pulled the body back, put it in the morgue where the guy's arm and leg would have been eaten off. And the coroner actually says that it's teeth marks that ate him. So there's human teeth marks on this corpse.
Yeah, they question whether it's an animal, and it's like, no, these are definitely humanoids. So that leads you to believe that, okay, this is definitely some sort of I believe they do start thinking that it's some sort of pre-version of man, like a more of a Neanderthal. And you actually kind of find out later in the episode that we'll get to, but that might not be the case.
Yeah, it's really hard to say even when you watch the episode, but we'll get to that later on. Kind of get back into it right here. As they're standing in the morgue, they see these teeth marks on this body. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, and this is one of the couple of things. I will say this before we get back into the plot. I hate to keep pausing, but I just keep thinking of certain things that, as I was watching this. I kind of hate that. With certain episodes of this show, which I love this show, but I kind of wish they used more practical effects with things. They didn't use, obviously, CGI, but, you know, with the body, they didn't really show the body. It's like, you know, in certain episodes of X-Files, they do show, gore, blood, you know, body, like fake bodies and things of that nature. Even in the previous four episodes, they showed some fake, you know, bodies. But in this episode, they don't really get into the gritty kind of stuff, which I think that has a lot to do with probably the budget of the show at the time.
Yeah, and, you know, you want to set a tone early on, so you want to put out some of your better stuff, but you have to kind of ease up a bit, especially back in 1993. You can't be showing the type of gore that we can now and expect to be not get like blown up by the media or like
parents think,
and
like,
stuff.
I could only imagine if like X-Files was made like on AMC nowadays, like, you know, Walking Dead is like a complete, they could show a guy's head getting blown off on the Walking Dead.
American Horror Story, but a lot of people tell me they push the envelope like all the time in that show.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I know FX and AMC are kind of like that as I've watched the first season of American Horror Story. I haven't seen any of the other ones, But yeah, kind of get back into it. That's just kind of something I notated down that I wanted to kind of mention. But the local police come in into the morgue and they ask, Mulder and Scully to leave. They're like, "This is a local matter." He looks at Mulder. Mulder's like, "Who's in charge?" You know, he asked Mulder asked him a question. I can't remember exactly what it was, but the guy from the local police department looks at him and says, "You're not my boss. You need to leave. This has nothing to do with you. This is a local matter. We're going to handle it. This is a murder case. You're basically impending on the murder case. Just get away." So they leave. They do. They walk out of the morgue and they start heading toward Mulder's car. And all of a sudden, Mulder looks over at Scully and he kind of wants to stay in the town. He wants to kind of investigate a little bit more. Scully tells him that he can leave, or Mulder tells Scully that she can leave if she wants. And she says she has to go to her godson's birthday party. And he's like, "Well, if you got to leave, you got to leave." And it was like a 3-hour drive to get back and she didn't want to do it. So she stays with him. For a little while. She does go to her godson's party, but she stays with him for a little bit longer. Mulder actually calls the park services and meets them out on the site. And I think what happened was Scully stayed for just a little bit to kind of walk around with Mulder. It doesn't really show it, but you can tell she's walking with Mulder somewhere, but then she's gone. She's like left, but gone back to, gone back to DC where they live. So Mulder calls the park services and meets the park ranger out on the site where the body was found. The park ranger starts telling him the story of how the homeless people around are scared of the Jersey Devil and how they don't travel out into the woods. And then Mulder kind of starts kind of what I call probing, starts asking questions to him. And he's like, hey, have you ever seen anything weird around here? You're out here all the time. And he's like, yeah, I don't come out here unless I have my gun. And he's like, I saw a tall, naked man in the woods one time sniffing. I laughed my ass off when I heard this story. He said he saw a tall, naked man sniffing around in the woods and running through the woods butt naked. Like, I couldn't imagine, like, seeing that shit. I'd be like, what the fuck? I'd be like, this motherfucker's on some meth or some shit. The last thing I'd be thinking of is, dude, because, like, you remember that? Remember what happened in Miami where that guy, like, bit that guy's face off on bath salts? Like, yeah. I would think some shit like that nowadays. I wouldn't think that back then, but nowadays.
Yeah, like, but they're high on Molly or something.
Yeah, they're like on some like fucked up drugs or something. I mean, when you the first time anybody would hear that story, they'd be like, "Okay, what the fuck was he smoking?" But, but anyway, Mulder asks the ranger to call him if he sees anything, and he just kind of walks off into the woods, going toward the town. He's like, he doesn't ride back with the ranger, and it kind of pans out, and you hear that breathing again, looking at Mulder. It's just like heavy breathing. So then I guess it pans back to Scully. Scully's part of the episode. And she's at a birthday party with her godson. She's kind of cleaning up and doing things. Her friend, I guess the friend that is the kid's mom, is asking Scully why she doesn't go out and do things or meet a guy and why she doesn't have any kids. The girl asks Scully, she's like, what about that guy Mulder you work with? Why aren't you with him? And this is kind of, in my opinion, where the kind of thoughts of romance almost start blooming between – well, I think Scully thinks about it a little bit more than Mulder. But Scully – you can tell Scully has a little thing for Mulder at this point. I mean, she – you can kind of just tell from her facial expressions and things of that nature.
Yeah, but I almost feel like that it's kind of repressed as well.
It's very repressed. I think it's obviously because of her job.
Like, she doesn't want to believe it. She just doesn't want to kind of like go with it or she just wants to like not kind of ignore it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well that's the first, and that's also the first time you really hear anyone mention that, hey, what do you think about Mulder?
An audience, we see it from the get-go.
Yeah, you can kind of see it from the get-go. I mean, it's you got a woman and a man working together and they're not bad-looking people. I mean, and they're both single. I mean, come on. That's kind of like an obvious thing there.
Can you tell us about a crush on Mulder or something?
Oh, dude, man, I would fuck David Duchovny all day long. No, I'm just joking. But yeah, David Duchovny, actually, there's a song on YouTube, you guys, and since JP mentioned that, there's actually a song on YouTube called David Duchovny, Why Don't You Love Me? And it's, like, made by a bunch of 90s actors. Like, there's, like, a music video for it. It's, like, hilarious. I don't know why the fuck they made it, but it's just so funny because it shows like pictures of him and like modeling. It's just funny, but okay. But anyway, kind of get back in here.
She mentions, why don't you date Mulder?
Why don't you date Mulder? Mulder starts walking through the woods. It kind of pans back to Mulder. You still hear the breathing in the background, and then it shows Mulder going to this area where all these homeless people are. And he walks up to a homeless man and asks about, the man murdered a couple of days ago. He's like, hey, did you know this guy? He's asking around, and he finds a guy that said he knew him. The homeless man basically takes him down this alleyway. He's like, do you know anything? He's like, yeah, let me show you something. Takes him down this alleyway. He's like, I'll show you something that may help you, but you're going to have to pay me. Mulder pays him off. The guy pulls out a picture. It looks like a drawing, like a kid's drawing of like fucking Bigfoot, to be honest with you. But
it looks terrible.
It looks horrible. Like, I don't even really know. I don't even know why Mulder gave a shit about that, to be honest with you, because he kind of knew what he was looking for. But it was a picture of like a Bigfoot looking character. And the homeless man shows him the picture and says he was digging around in the trash back in the alley where this homeless guy stays. The guy lives in this alley. And he's like, when's the last time you saw him? I saw him recently. He was digging around this trash. And then he shows him the picture and says, obviously says that. Mulder looks at the homeless guy, gives him the key to his hotel room and says, here, you want to stay in my hotel room tonight? And the homeless guy's like, He made a joke. He was like, "Do they have HBO?" And then Mulder was like, "Yep." And so Mulder gives him the key. I guess the guy goes and stays in his hotel.
You know what? Actually, to just cut in there real quick.
Yeah.
Do you remember how big of a deal HBO was? Like, it was such a huge thing back in the 90s. So
yeah,
the joke is kind of only relevant to people who grew up there. But, like, HBO was the shit. Like, it was more than just a channel. It was a little harder to come by. Like, if you had a friend who had HBO, it was, like, the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, well, now they have, like, HBO Go. HBO is still, like, a paid service, and I feel like HBO is probably, other than AMC, they're probably the biggest network ever. You know, obviously they got, like, Game of Thrones and things like that, but...
The reason they were so big, though, back then is because they would get movies. Like, now you can rent a movie, like, anytime you want, like, but before you had to wait for it, you had to wait for the VHS and then wait for it to get on HBO.
Exactly, yeah. It was like one of those things, and it was one of those paid things, and everybody was like, dude, HBO's got that good shit, man. Let's call our provider and try to get HBO for free for 5 months or some shit. Yeah. I remember, do you remember they had that, they had like those satellite dish cards that were like cracked and you could like get HBO for free?
Oh yeah, dude. That was like kind of more in the early 2000s, but even before that they had the hot boxes where they had like these cable boxes which like bypassed the shit to where you could get HBO, because I had some of that when I was a kid as well.
That shit's funny. We had one of those satellite dishes, and you get like 1,000 channels. And I was always like I used to go to my buddy's house, and he had it, and I was like, dude, how the fuck, like, what? I was like, for one, how did you do this? And two, do you watch all these channels? I'm like, what's the point? Like, I don't see how you can watch all this shit. But
did he show you the porn channels?
Yes, of course. Yeah, we had like Big Tits Beauties 96 on there, and then we had like the Playboy Channel and all that.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. Anyway, sidetrack. But let's get back. We're not too far away from the end of the episode. So the homeless man obviously showed him the picture. Mulder stayed in the back alley that night. So he actually stayed where the homeless guy stays.
Yeah.
And he's waiting kind of in the back alley. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you see like this thing. It's like a fucking naked man, and he's got
it's
long
like a hairy
hair.
Naked man.
Yeah, basically like a hairy naked caveman is like what we'd call it. And he's like digging around in the fucking trash, and Mulder, the guy, like the man, like jumps over this fence, and Mulder starts chasing him, like just chasing after him, I guess, to find out what's going on. And as he's running after the caveman, the cops pull up. So I guess they found out kind of what he was doing. He was asking around, and you know, the cops are trying to cover this whole thing up. Mulder thinks because you know, of certain things, which I'll get into now. Mulder is pretty much stating that the lead local cop guy, which I'm pretty sure is like the sergeant or like the head of the police department, uh-huh, is withholding evidence about this Jersey Devil. They obviously, while he's chasing after this Jersey Devil looking thing, he gets picked up by the cops and he gets brought back to the station.
Why is he withholding evidence?
He's withholding evidence because the cop or Mulder thinks that he doesn't want to draw attention away from the town, because the town's like a big casino town, mm-hmm, and the Neanderthal is killing these people, obviously eating them, and that would obviously stop people from coming to the town, and the guy doesn't want any of that to kind of be
public.
So
it's like the classic Jaws thing.
It's exactly like Jaws. That's exactly a perfect movie to kind of – and like Mulder calls the guy out on it. And the guy, you can tell, is kind of like – you know, he's like, that's not what it is. You know, he's like kind of bullshitting Mulder, but you know that's what it is. And the cop tells him he's seeing things, basically like this person doesn't exist. So then this was kind of like an arc in the episode in a way. Like it – this part that's coming up next, it doesn't really explain very well, but pretty much what happens is Mulder somehow ends up in a drunk tank. I guess Mulder got drunk. Like after he left the police station, he ended up going to a bar, getting drunk, and getting put in jail in the drunk tank. He was definitely drunk. They didn't just put him in the drunk tank, but it doesn't show him really drinking. At least I don't remember it showing him drinking at all. But he calls Scully, and Scully comes all the way from D.C., of course, for her boo, and bails him out. Scully basically looks at Mulder, and is like, she's like, you look like shit. Like, Mulder has, like, this 5 o'clock shadow. He's drunk as shit. He's like, are we going to go get breakfast? And, you know, when you're drunk, you want food. So she brings him to get breakfast. They're eating breakfast together, and Scully says that in so many words, they're talking, and she said, you know, Mulder's like, are you going to stay? She's like, no, I got a date with a guy tonight, so I'm going to head back. And she basically tells Mulder in so many words that she wants to have a side life of her own. She doesn't want to make her work her priority.
Yeah.
No, not just her only priority, which I kind of found it funny because I'm just like, you know, is she paying to travel and bail Mulder out and then travel back the same day? Like, is the FBI paying for that? Like,
yeah, I'm not really sure. Well, I guess you probably are salary, so.
Yeah, I guess. I guess the FBI does pay for it. I don't fucking know. It's just really odd to think about. But I just kind of – I think about really – when I'm detailing out these things, I think about this stuff, and I'm just kind of confused. But but anyway, they're eating breakfast, and Mulder basically says he saw the Jersey Devil, and it scared the shit out of him. He's like, yeah, I saw this thing. It was in this alley. I chased after it, and it was huge. And Scully's like, well, let me bring you to meet somebody. So Scully brings Mulder to meet a professor that is a professor on basically like pre-human life. And who knows a lot about these Neanderthals and knows a lot about, you know, he knows about the Jersey Devil myth and, like, you know, how humans can become like that. And he asked the professor, he's like, is this possible for this to happen with the Jersey Devil? The professor's like, yeah, it is a
possibility. Well, he says not really, and Mulder says, but, like, what if outside – it's not outside the realm of extreme possibility, which is, like, you know, 0.0001%. He's like, well, I guess not. I mean, it's not impossible.
If you think about it, it's not – nothing's really super – I mean, if you think about it, things can happen, like, outside of the norm. So, yeah, Mulder – of course, he's going to have a little bit of hope and, you know, be like, okay, what I'm thinking
is wrong.
And belief, because he wants to believe. So it kind of pans out, shows Mulder back in his office. I guess he's back in D.C. looking at pictures of the Jersey Devil, looking at pictures that look like the Jersey Devil in his office. Scully's out on this date with this guy, this douchebag-looking dude, who is trying to – basically, it seems like he's hitting on her.
He's trying to hit that dude.
Oh, he wants it. Yeah, I mean, she looked pretty good in that scene. I ain't gonna lie. I would definitely be like that. But it cuts to Mulder in his office, and he just looks really tired. And then all of a sudden, he gets a call, and he's like, "It's the park ranger that he talked to earlier." And then he says that they found another body with teeth marks. That the body has been pretty much the guy's been deceased for about 6 to 8 months. So they found another body in the woods. Of course, what Mulder all of a sudden does is call Scully and tells her, that it seems, what does he say? And she seems to like, yeah. So he calls Scully. She's on the date. She seems to, like, somewhat enjoy that he's calling her. I guess she's not really having a good time on this date, it seems like. And she seems like she had she was happy that he called. And Mulder kind of hints at that, what if it's a beast woman and not an actual man?
So dun, it's kind of dun, a, dun.
Yeah, kind of an arc in the story there a little bit. They kind of cuts off. It shows Mulder, Scully, the park ranger, and the professor. They're searching for this beast. They're back in Jersey. They're in the woods. They're looking around. They're in this building. They're just looking everywhere for this beast. And the park ranger actually has a dart gun. He's going to dart the Neanderthal if they find it, because they don't want to kill it, because it could be, you know, a new kind of something that's found, something new.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to kill it at all, because obviously it's obviously a killer, but at the same time, it could just be something that it's doing out of instinct. So, and something I've notated here is it seems like the town is more concerned about investigating what the officials of the town are doing, like the park ranger, than worrying about the public to me in this town. It just seems like they're more worried about focusing on, hey, let's check out what the park ranger's doing, let's check out what the FBI is doing, than worrying about this public, because they pull up, they see the park ranger's Jeep, and they're like, what the hell is this guy doing here? And I guess it's like a known place for this Jersey Devil to be. And all of a sudden, there's this SWAT team out. They're surrounding the area looking for the beast. They're looking for Mulder. They're asking about Mulder. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they're in this building, and Mulder sees the beast and starts chasing it. He chases it down to this building, and the beast which we'll call it the Jersey Devil, jumps on Mulder at this point and kind of stares him down and starts sniffing him.
Now, Kyle, kind of like, you did say that it's like a place in the town where the Jersey Devil's like kind of known to be. I don't know how much you know about the myth of the Jersey Devil, but they don't mention it in this episode, but the Pine Barrens is a place where they believe the Jersey Devil kind of lives. So that might be what they're talking about. That might be where they're at in this episode.
It seems like they took a lot from the folklore, I guess, or a lot of little details. So that could be where it's at. I mean, it's like an abandoned building, sort of. It has like some forest around it, and that's where the beast jumps on top of Mulder. I mean, he chases it down. It's kind of creepy at this part because, you know, it's there, but you can't see it because it's like hiding in the shadows. And Mulder just kind of like falls on his back, and he looks up at it, and he's like, uh-oh, you know, like, what the fuck? And this beast is basically just staring back at him and sniffing him. All of a sudden, it kind of like slashes at Mulder. It kind of like injures his stomach, which it didn't really show his injury, which is kind of odd, but it hit his stomach somewhere. They actually cornered it, and then it runs out into the woods. And then the cops start running after it. So they, at this point, the cops see this thing. They are acknowledging it's there. They're running after it. All of a sudden, Mulder, it just kind of cuts off. Mulder and Scully are sitting around.
Mulder's kind of in an ambulance at this point, I believe.
He's in an ambulance. He's holding his stomach. He's saying he got hurt. But he's having Scully call the FBI because he's trying to get jurisdiction on the case. And the FBI's like, no, you're interfering with a murder case. We're not going to give you jurisdiction on it. Leave him alone. And then they get word by the park ranger again that they cornered the Jersey Devil. Or they know where it is out in the woods. And then it shows the naked woman. It just shows her ass, but it's like shows her running down. She's like dirty as hell, running down toward the stream. And the park ranger pulls out his gun, his dart gun, and he actually shoots it. And immediately that son of a bitch like pulled that damn dart out and just like threw it on the ground. Like it didn't give a fuck. It got hit. So it's still being chased. The cops are still chasing it. And they end up shooting and killing it. Really, for no reason, to be honest with you. I mean,
well, the reason was because it's the same reason we would kill a rabid animal.
That's exactly what I put here. So Mulder's like super pissed. Like he's like, why the fuck did you kill it? Like, what did it do? Like, it was just running away. Like, why would you kill it? And the cop is like, the same reason you would kill a rabid animal, which I can see both sides of it. Like,
listen,
I can understand.
I'm with the cop, dude. This thing has killed multiple people and it's escaped one time. We can't let it escape again. Like, it's time to put it down now.
But at the same time, the country is based off of a system where innocent until proven guilty. So they don't really, technically at this point, really know that it was this person. They're just assuming it was because...
Yeah, but it's also running from the police and, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can see both sides. I can see where, you know, Mulder's kind of wanting to investigate it because of, like, it's a new thing. You know, it's something that, you know, we can get a lot of research from. But the cops at the same time are like, fuck this. You know, let's just kill it. We got it cornered. So anyway, they examine the body. That kind of cuts back to Mulder's office. This is the end of the episode.
Actually, they reveal that there was no prehistoric bone structure, which kind of takes away the fact that it was a Neanderthal. It seems that they're going more towards it's just a feral person.
Yeah. So it's just basically like a feral being that's been out in the woods and raised kind of like in woods type with no,
that's,
you know,
what
no human
means.
World. So exactly.
Yes, so the initial idea was it could be like the missing link to our evolution, but it seems like they kind of just leave the episode with it, that it's probably just some sort of a feral person. But there's always sort of that still like unanswered questions by the end of the episode, but they did say that they found bones in its digestive tract, so it was cannibalizing shit.
They also said that it was JP's girlfriend, and that, you know, that they really, really just wanted JP really wanted it to survive because he's just gonna miss it so much. But
well, I mean, I do like him hairy.
Oh, I'm sure she had enough hair on her that you could have braided that son of a bitch, they did say the bone structure was about a 25 to 30 year old woman. And basically what happens was that it was offspring of, it was basically like the male, it was like a family. So basically like the male died, the father died and the mother came out and searched for food, basically, and that's what the where the woman came from is what Mulder pretty much thinks is the mm-hmm. case.
Yeah. And Scully actually Mulder wants to go to an ethnobiologist at the Smithsonian. And Scully does have a date, but she decides to turn down her date and go join Mulder. And that's kind of where the episode ends.
It does show a little scene at the end where it shows a guy with his son hiking. True. He's a random guy. A guy hiking through the woods with his son, kind of like talking about talking about things in the forest, and tells his son about that. He's telling his son about the Jersey Devil, giving him like kind of the rundown on of his son's like really small. And then all of a sudden it pans down, it shows a little kid hiding in the woods, like hiding under this like in this cave that's underneath where the son and the father are walking.
Yeah, with damn near dreadlocks, just disgusting hair.
Yeah, which makes you think it's probably the daughter, or
it
maybe
doesn't make you think
sister.
It's just absolutely that it's the daughter.
it's definitely the daughter. It's probably the daughter.
Which
it doesn't
is
really
just
tell you,
it's just but. How most of these episodes end, where it's just kind of like just kind of it's like kind of a final shocker type thing, which you kind of expect that, especially when they start talking about them like reproducing and stuff. So I kind of expected it. So, that kind of wraps up the episode. Normally around this time, we get into our thoughts on the episode. Last episode, we introduced the tier system, where it's a high tier, mid tier, and low tier episode. So what did you think this one was?
All right. So I'm not basing my tiers off of, whether or not I like the episode. I'm basing it off of the story, like as far as like the
like
X-Files
it is.
A whole. Yeah, I would say this is a medium tier episode. The reason I say that, kind of get my thoughts of it. I did enjoy this episode a good bit. I really like this episode. I like the structure of the episode. I like the kind of Jersey Devil type thing, because it's this real thing in real life, like the folklore of it. I just consider this a medium type arc episode. It did kind of introduce the aspect of Scully kind of possibly having feelings toward Mulder. You see, that kind of like excitement in her eyes, which is kind of like the underlining story of like how the series goes. But at the same time, it's kind of like a Monster of the Week episode, where it's the actual storyline of it doesn't make any difference in the actual arc of the entire series whatsoever. So I would give it a medium rating, in my opinion.
Okay, so me personally, I have not seen a low-tier episode yet, but I feel like this is the first low-tier episode. To me personally, I do like the concept of the Jersey Devil. They seem to play it a little bit more realistic and like a real person instead of like a Bigfoot-like creature, which could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. I personally have never seen a single Jersey Devil movie or anything that I thought was actually good. So I still don't think anybody's actually made a decent story on the Jersey Devil, which is kind of disheartening. To me, it's just, I don't feel like much happened in this episode. That, like we talked about, there's no real gore, there's no real special effects. It's just a hairy person. The story is like very like run of the mill. Like nothing out of the ordinary happens. There's no surprises really. Even the end surprise I saw coming a mile away. It's just very, I don't know. It just, not much happens in this one. It's very basic. It's honestly what I think it is it's a story that I could have wrote. And if it's a story that I could have wrote, it's probably not that good.
I think that's why I kind of like it. It's a simple episode. I mean, it's not anything that's like, I mean, there's obviously 10 times better episodes than this by any means. I mean, I've seen all the episodes. I just always like when I rewatched this episode today, I just remembered, like, I did enjoy this episode. I didn't think it was the best episode. I didn't think it was the best one so far we've saw, but I did enjoy it. I mean, I thought it was a kind of a simple idea. It kind of introduced, introduced the aspect of the whole thing with Mulder and Scully, showed that Scully, obviously at the end she did not go with the guy that was trying to get with her. She went with Mulder. It kind of just hinted back at that there's possibly a little romance going on there, which you kind of already know, but at the same time it's cool to see. But I mean, the most thing I agree with you with is the gore. I really think this episode lacked with the practical effects,
especially because you're talking about something so like sinister, like cannibalism. Yeah. and eaten body parts and stuff. Even just a little bit of effects, a little bit of blood, something would have helped out a little bit. Also, I didn't really find the story of the police trying to, you know, go against Mulder and stuff. Like, it feels like we've seen that a bunch of times already, which is not a bad thing. I know we're going to see it a bunch more times. It's kind of like the way that these type of shows go, but I just didn't really care for characters that were kind of going against him in this one. They didn't seem like that interesting. I didn't really care for really any of the side characters. None of them stood out to me. I honestly found this episode kind of boring. This is like the first real one where I just was like, I don't really like this one.
See, so this is to me, it's like a low tier. This is why I like doing this with you, because it's like we have different opinions on it. Like, I agree with like pretty much everything almost you said. Like, I mean, there are really no characters that stand out. I did enjoy the park ranger. Like, I did like his character. I thought he was really cool. It was really cool that, you know, Mulder met somebody that is somewhat of not law enforcement, but kind of like at a rank where, you know, this guy can tote around a gun and pretty much shoot anything he wants, and he's going to help Mulder out. He doesn't think Mulder is bullshitting him, as well as the professor as well. I mean, the professor,
I thought
honestly,
the professor conversation was pretty much like the only interesting piece of like dialogue type thing with the outsiders in this one. I will say that I think that the Jersey Devil thing itself was really lame. Like, I think that also comes into my criticism, where it's a boring type thing. It's this feral woman that doesn't look threatening at all. I know that there was a male version of it too, but I kind of didn't like how she just sat on Mulder and was like non-threatening. Like, it didn't make sense to me, like, why she wouldn't attack him, or
she wanted to have sex with him, man. That's
yeah,
why.
Yeah, I know, and they kind of hinted that, but they don't really go into it. And I think that if the Jersey Devil had been like a monster or a creature or even a Bigfoot, I think that this episode probably would have been a lot funner.
Yeah, I mean, I can agree with that. I mean, like I said, that's why I gave it a medium tier. I know you gave it a low tier, but I think medium or low, there's obviously a big difference there, but at the same time, I just felt like so far, like, this hasn't been – I mean, I felt like the last episode that we watched, which was, I believe, Conduit, I didn't like that episode that much. I thought that was –
I thought this was the worst episode we've seen so far. And it's still not bad, per se. Like, I wouldn't say this is a bad episode. I wouldn't say that – it's just one that I would never go back to unless I was doing something like a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as you guys will see as you go along with us, I mean, there are a lot worse episodes out there. I mean, not a lot, but there's episodes that are a lot worse than this one.
Yeah, I mean, there's no show that's going to have 202 episodes and not have any low-tier episodes.
Exactly.
It's just impossible.
And everybody's opinion on these are going to be different as well. I mean, some people may – like,
one
somebody
thing I will say about that is everybody knows that my opinion is the one that is most right all the time. So, I mean
– yeah, yeah. I mean, I do agree with that. Yeah, you – God, dude, you should be Ebert, the new fucking Siskel and Ebert, dude. Like, I fucking will vote for you to do that shit, man. Like, I really, really, really wish you would. But yeah, that's the fucking end of the episode. So, anything you want to plug before we leave, JP? I mean, you did at the beginning of the episode, I know, but anything else?
No, man. As always, just check us out on all our different outlets. Double Shot J on YouTube, The Horror File on YouTube, the Horrorphilia Podcasting Network, which is www.horrorphilia.com, 22shotsofmoodsandhorror.com, our Facebook group, 22 Shots of Moods and Horror. You can email us at 22shotsofmoodsandhorror@gmail.com and all the other places. I actually leave links down in the description now. Rate us on iTunes. As for me, I am JP. That is Kyle. We're done. We're through. We're out.